Christian Fellowship Church. Y'all just get quiet when we get up here. That's really nice. We're so glad you're here to fellowship with us this morning and sing and praise the Lord and then hear from the Word of God. I'm going to read Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Can you think back in your mind when God's faithfulness was present to the generation before us? I mean, there's times where you can look back in the family and realize how God has been faithful, how he's provided and cared for us. Hopefully you can think of that today as we think about all that that God has done for us. Stand and sing with us. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Hello, my name is Deb Reimers, and I'm the coordinator for the New Holland Release. Hello, my name is Deb Reimers, and I'm the coordinator for the New Holland Release time. Luke 18:16 says, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." This is what release time is all about, bringing the children of our public schools to Christ by teaching his word. A Pennsylvania state law states that public school students may be released for 1 hour of religious education during the day. Release time brings students from New Holland Elementary to Petra Church on Thursday afternoons from 2:15 to 3:15. The children are registered by their parents to be allowed to come. Our time with them consists of a Bible lesson, songs, and small group time where they recite memory work, do worksheets, and have time with a caring Christian adult. They earn points, which go toward awards and the possibility of free summer Bible camp. There are four ways that you can support Release Time. Pray for our program, that children will have God's word written on their heart and be saved, that the Lord will protect the Pennsylvania law that allows our ministry. You can volunteer. We need many caring Christian volunteers to sit with our students during the small group time. You can donate. The majority of our funds go towards sending children to camp in the summer. Churches, along with many, many individuals, donate to our program to make that possible. And number four, send your children to release time. Two-thirds of our children are churched. They come to learn God's word, but they also encourage their friends to come. If you have any questions, see our brochure in your lobby. Thank you for allowing me to share about release time, and thank you for all you do as a church to make it possible.
Good morning. It is great to be with you. My name is Pastor Aaron. I'm one of the pastors here at Christian Fellowship Church, and if you are visiting, we are so thankful that you've chosen to be with us. That video that you just saw is in a program that I think is amazing. Our school systems allow our kids to just leave school at that point and come to this program where God's word is taught and spoken. And what a great opportunity. So if you have the ability and the time, they need your help. And of course, finances always help, but they need physical help. They need people that can come and be a part of this and teach. So there is a flyer in your bulletin that you can take a look at and see more information about that and how you can help and sign up to be a part of that. Also, on the other side of that, I want to show you that our Discover CFC class, that is coming up. It's going to be September 13th. This is a class that is heading towards membership. If you are interested in hearing more about our church, interested in becoming a member, or even just thinking about it, this is a great class for you. If you've been coming for a long time, this would be a good class because it really gets into exactly who we are as a church and how we do church and why we do church and what we believe. And so this is a wonderful class. We'd love for you to join us. We have a lot of people. It's going to take place right in here during the ABF hour starting on Sunday, September 13th. We'd love for you to sign up and be a part of that. There's also quite a bit in your bulletin. Next week, you don't want to come to this building. Next week is our church picnic. And what a great opportunity for us to be unified. You know, having multiple services, sometimes you don't get to see everybody. Well, this is a chance where we're going to all meet at the same time in one place, celebrate quite a few baptisms, and then have a wonderful message brought, and then some great food and great activity. So we would love for you to be a part of that. There will be no service here next Sunday. I want to say that again because that is something that's a little different than it's been in the past. There will be no service here next Sunday. If you have issues maybe with mobility and moving and you're concerned about that, we want you to know we think about you, we care about you. We'll have a golf cart there that can take you to places that maybe you might not be able to walk to. We'll make sure that if you need parking up close, we'll get you very close. So we want everybody to come together so that we can have a unified service. So that's next Sunday, 10:45 at Greenview Bible Camp. It's going to be a great time, and you do not want to miss it. One other quick thing, there's a lot, so make sure you read your bulletin, but one other thing we want to point out is because of Labor Day weekend, the Heart to Heart Ministries, Tea with Thee, will be meeting Monday, September 14th, and With These Hands will not meet at all in September because of Labor Day. Right now, we just want to take a moment, and we want to go to our Lord in prayer, and we want to pray for our church, for the people in our church family, and for our church to be a light outside of these doors. So if you just bow your heads and pray with me. God, we are so thankful that we are here, that we get to be in this room to worship you, Lord. I thank you that we're in a country that we have the freedoms to do that, Lord. And I pray for our country. I lift it up to you. I pray that you would be with the leadership. I pray that you would be with the people that are making decisions, God. And if they don't know you, I pray you would put people in their path that do, that can speak your wisdom into their lives. But God, we are very happy to be here. And we want to be a day today where we worship you, where we honor you, and we bring glory to your name, and where your word speaks into our hearts today, Lord. And so have us listen. Have us have open hearts to hear from Pastor Matt as he speaks today. I think of the other ministries going on in our kids' ministry and in student ministries and the ABFs and so many other places where your word will be spoken. And God, we want it to be fruitful, and we want it to be so that as a church, we hear and then we go and do, and we go outside of these walls and we share the gospel with those we come in contact with. God, I thank you so much for our church family, Lord. We have some that are facing some struggles. I think specifically of John Yoder today as he'd be heading back from North Carolina in an ambulance to come back and be ministered to at the Lancaster Rehab, Lord. We pray for safety. We pray for healing. We pray for recovery, God, and for the whole Yoder family as they walk through this, Lord. We have others in our church, too, that are facing difficult health battles. And so I pray, God, that there would be wisdom from doctors, Lord, but that there would be peace from you, that peace that truly passes all human understanding, God. And so we're just going to pray for you to work in their lives and to bring healing and restoration, God. And Lord, there are a lot of relationships that are facing struggles, Lord, and we know that our culture is against sometimes wonderful, beautiful marriages. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would be a part of them, that they would seek you to be the center of their marriages, Lord, and that they would find restoration and healing where necessary and strengthen their marriages, Lord. Strengthen all of our marriages, God, that we may withstand the tests that come. Lord, today is the day that we worship you, and we are thankful to be here, and we just want to pray all of these things in your Son's incredibly awesome, holy, precious, powerful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you'll stand as we continue to worship in song.
Lord, we do not walk alone. Let us continue to stand in your gospel. Please open our hearts. Let's be with each other as we listen to the word that preaches today. Help us be an example to generations to come. Help us show the world that we truly do stand in your gospel for all generations. For we know you, Lord. Please be with us in our hearts as we listen today and as we go forth. You may be seated. Thank you for singing.
Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
From generation to generation,
We will recount your praise.
I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long?
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Well, good morning. It is it's great to be with you this morning. My name is Matt Maservi, and my message today is entitled, Hear Ye, Hear Ye. And we're going to be in Psalm chapter 78, if you'd like to turn there. I'm going to do my best with this. But if you heard these words, I want you to think about what you might think of. Hey, clear the way in this old bazaar. Hey, you, let us through. It's a bright new star. Oh, come, be the first on your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes, ring bells, bang the drums. Oh, you're gonna love this guy. Does anybody know what the next words are? Prince Ali, fabulous he, Ali Ababwa, right? Genuflect, show some respect, down on one knee, right? And then there's a little kid that says, he faced the galloping hordes, 100 bad guys with swords who sent those goons to their lords. Why, Prince Ali. I want you to think for just a second, was any of that true? No, it was all made up. It was based on a wish. So we have Prince Ali was the first kind of hear ye that I thought of. The next one is a little bit more... maybe less known, but it's Chaucer, and there's a movie called A Knight's Tale, and he introduces this guy named William, and he says, my lords, my ladies, and everyone else here who's not sitting on a cushion, today you find yourselves equals, for you are equally blessed, for I have the pride, nay, the privilege, nay, the pleasure of introducing to you a knight, sired by knights. A knight who can trace his lineage back beyond Charlemagne. I first met him atop a mountain in Jerusalem, praying to God, asking his forgiveness for the blood he had spilt by his sword. Next, he amazed me still further in Italy when he saved a fatherless girl from being taken advantage of by her evil uncle. In Greece, he spent a year in silence just to better understand the sound of a whisper. And so, without any further gilding of the lily and with no more ado, I give you the seeker of serenity, the protector of Italian virginity, the enforcer of our Lord God, the one, the only. And he says, Sir Ulrich von Lichtenstein, right? And it's kind of interesting in that case that Sir Ulrich really was this peasant, William. It was all based on lies. All of this hear ye, all this much ado was all based on a lie. How much more powerful would these things be if it were true? I think the most intimidating, daunting, and energizing introduction in kind of a hear ye style was done around 1997. I was a boy, a little under 10 years old. I was living in Utah, and everyone knew I loved one thing, and everybody in my area loved one thing, and that was the Utah Jazz basketball team. We would host parties to watch the NBA. I remember being at baseball practice, and my coach pulled up his truck right next to the field so he could blast Utah Jazz radio while we practiced. There was something I absolutely dreaded as a Utah Jazz fan, and this is what it is. I'm going to show you this real quick. Do you have that video? Let's see. Get it pulled up. And I knew at that point that we were going to lose. Isn't it interesting that even just from that, I mean, there was like graphic design on that, guys. It was the 90s. There was like a bull running through downtown Chicago, and everybody was cheering. And I was like, oh no, we have to play the Bulls. Oh no. When our announcer did it, it was like, now starting at point guard, John Stockton. That small forward, Jeff Hornacek. You know, like it was nothing compared to that. I knew that we were going to lose. As I wanted to start today, I want us to think about the word invincible. You know, could the Bulls be beaten? Yeah, the Jazz, we actually beat them a couple times. I mean, we never won a series against them, but we beat them a couple times. However, they wanted you to see that video and hear that announcer and believe the lie that they were invincible. What about Sir Ulrich? His entire life was fraudulent. He was born of peasants and used Chaucer to build up his reputation based on a lie. And we all know the story of Aladdin. He was a street rat, a thief. Ultimately, all those hype-up speeches and videos and songs, all of those things ultimately fail because we fail. That is, except for with God. God is the only one who can live up to the hype. He truly is invincible. So when we go out and we make God's hear ye speech, we can do it with confidence. We can do it without worrying that he will let us down, because he won't. He won't fail. We have a story to tell to the nations, don't we? We have a story to pass on to our children. And it's one that should kind of hype us up. And that's where we start here today in Psalm 78. The psalmist says, give ear, or like, listen up. Everybody, I'm going to make a statement that's really important. Oh, my people, give ear to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Make way, bang the drums. Give ear. We have a God who is mighty in power. He's done glorious deeds and he's done these wonders. This was written by a man named Asaph. And Asaph was influential kind of in David's realm. David established a permanent ministry of music for the tabernacle and later the temple. Asaph was appointed as kind of the chief conductor. He sounded the bronze cymbals. He was called a seer or a prophet. He led worship when the Ark of the Covenant arrived in Jerusalem. He kind of started this musical legacy with his sons and his grandsons leading worship, and they were called the sons of Asaph. You know, there are certain people who, when they say, hey, guys, listen up, that we should kind of take note, right? When I thought of this, I thought of the movie Miracle. Anybody seen that movie? But basically, the coach, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's a very staunch guy. And all of a sudden, in the last game, he's like, hey, everybody listen. I have something important to say. And all of their ears perk up, right? And he says, you know, we might lose to these guys 9 times out of 10, but not today. Not today. Today we beat them, you know. And everybody, wow, give ear, listen up. And Asaph is that type of guy. He utters dark sayings of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. When he says dark sayings, he doesn't mean evil or nefarious. It's a Hebrew word, it's pronounced chida. It means puzzling, riddling, or paradoxical. So basically, he's saying, all come here, lend an ear, I have something to share. It's both things we've heard and known from generation to generation, and yet it's also kind of puzzling. Your kids may hear these stories and think, huh? Why would they act like that? That doesn't make sense. These people should have known better. It's puzzling. He emphatically states that we won't hide these things from our children, but we're going to tell the next generation the glorious deeds of God, his glory and his power. I wanted to just briefly talk for a minute about just how much advertising we see here in America. And I have this graphic. It says, the average person encounters 4,000 to 10,000 advertisements every single day. It's iPhone and digital, it's promotions, it's on video games, it's on every time you turn on your TV, you're seeing ads, it's on product, every time you go to a grocery store, you're just bombarded with advertisement. Hey, come get this, buy this, see this. And then we go and we drive home from work and we see billboards and bus stop ads and ads on trucks. And then we go home and we turn on our television and we see commercials and we see streaming and it says skip this ad. And we all click skip the ad because we want to get rid of the ads. And then we see it in print all around us too. We have mail that's sent to our houses. We have, you know, there's still newspapers and magazines and all those things. And it all adds up to we see close to probably 10,000 advertisements each day. And it does say that, like, we can't even cognitively accept all that. Like, so it says we consciously notice maybe about 100 advertisements a day. Can you imagine, like, think about that. Even without you know, focusing on it, your mind is absorbing about 100 advertisements a day. And I think as a result of that, I've seen some of this on social media, and I want to be really careful here, but there's a lot of parents, I think, who are like, I want to just stop with the manipulation. Like, I want to, anything that could be seen as me trying to manipulate my kids to believe one way or another way, or to see this ad and think this way, I just want to get rid of that. My kids are already being bombarded on how to think. Right? I heard somebody on social media say, nobody should be forced to go to church until they're 18. Because they're already, everything is advertised, they're basically, we're manipulating them by bringing them to church. These people may view vacation Bible school as manipulation. They may see our youth missions trips where they go teach little kids from other countries about Jesus. They may see that as colonialism. We're just bringing Western ideological advertising. And to be honest, it's kind of true unless there is only one God. Unless God really cannot tolerate our sin. Unless God really did send his only son to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sin. Unless Jesus actually did rise again on the third day. And eventually he's going to return and reign with God. And then, unless he's actually coming back again. If all those things are true, it's not propaganda. If they're true, it would be utterly preposterous to suggest that we shouldn't tell these things to our children. If there's only one way to heaven, only one way to eternal life, and if you love your kids, it's pretty vital that we do all we can to tell. Give ear, listen, kids. This is important. This is who God is. If that's true, it's not propaganda. It's truth. So the question is, what should we tell them? And we're going to kind of dig into our text. We're going to do it a little bit differently just because of the length of our text today. So we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. But we're going to start in verse 12 here. Psalm 78, verse 12 through 16, it says, in the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt. So remember, this Asaph's kind of writing this two parents to tell to their children. So he's kind of doing it in a story type fashion. In the fields of Zoan, God divided the sea and he let them pass through it and he made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud and all night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and he gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused water to flow down like rivers. The first thing that we tell the next generation is this. All the old guys were around, and they watched him do all sorts of miracles in Egypt. He divided the sea, and he made all the waters stand up. He led them around with clouds and fiery light. He split rocks and made water come out. So kids, your God's pretty amazing. Look at what he did. Hear ye, hear ye. Then in verse 23 through 29, he says, yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat, and he gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, he let out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings, and they ate and they were filled, for that he gave them what they craved. So kids, a bunch of the parents were kind of complaining about being hungry, so God fed them with grain from heaven. Then he also sent a bunch of birds to fall around their camp so that they could eat. So kids, hey, hear ye, God cares. God cares about us. They were out in the middle of the wilderness, and he sent birds to fall all around them, and he sent grain from heaven. Kids, your God cares. Verse 38 and 39 says, yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. So kids, even when the parents were sinning, he had compassion on them. He's able to hold back his anger, and he won't always react in wrath. He knows that we fail sometimes. So kids, your God knows how you feel. He cares about you. He knows how you feel. Verse 52 through 55 says, then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to this holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. So he led his people to a place where they didn't have to be afraid. He brought them to their home. Kids, your God's a helper when you're in times of trouble. He takes care of you. He doesn't just care about you. He takes care of you. What a powerful thing. In verse 70 through 72 of our psalm, it says, he chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. You know what God did? He took this no-name servant guy, the shepherd, and he made him our king. He brought him to lead us. So God cares about you. He cares about your safety. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And he's going to guide you. He's going to take care of you through putting people in your world who can lead you. And obviously this is in the book of Psalms, so it's written well before the time of Christ. But how awesome is it that we see David kind of as a type of Christ, a shadow of what Christ would ultimately become? Jesus is our good shepherd. He died for us. He took our place and bore our shame. We have a restored relationship with God as a result of Christ's work. We're adopted into the family of God. So all of these statements so far have kind of told us, man, our God, he's amazing. He's awesome. He's beyond what we could ask or imagine. Like, hear ye, everybody, look at how amazing this God is that we serve. Tell your kids, tell the next generation. And I want to make a real quick point of application. All these stories were just a couple sentences, yet they were extremely meaty, weren't they? They weren't dumbed down for the kids. They were stories that pointed to the great attributes of God. I think one of our issues today in church is that we talk to kids about how loving God is, but we never show them what love is in His Word. We might talk about things, and it's almost like we kind of whitewash God. If you just give kids the stories in our Bible, they're going to get a really robust view of things like love, of justice, of faith, of sacrifice, of discipleship. We don't need to replace this text with you know, nothing against VeggieTales, but man, there's something about just being in this Word with kids that's going to guide and shape them. And I want my kids to see God's wrath. I want them to see God's justice. I want them to see the hard, you know, I want them to know the real Noah story. That's a hard story, isn't it? It's not an easy one. I want them to know that at a young age because God is for them. We've just seen it in these texts. Hear ye, look at what God did. Don't replace these stories with cheap alternatives. That being said, our next point, which is kind of woven throughout this psalm as well, is that we fail. We fail quite a bit. If you noticed, I kind of picked up, he kind of talks about our failures, then he talks about God kind of stepping up. Then more failures, then God steps up. Then more failures, then God steps up. So I kind of reversed it. I wanted us to focus first on God. But second, we're going to see how often we fail. 78 verses 9 through 11. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to His law. They forgot His works and the wonders that He had showed them. So kids, even when God gave His soldiers all that they needed, they got scared and they ran away from the battle God had for them. They forgot how great He was and all that He had done for them. Biblical scholars note that this passage may reference a specific historic defeat, the catastrophic clash against the Philistines where the ark was captured, potentially in 1 Samuel chapter 4. But it's primarily used here as a theological warning. It serves as a historical lesson about how human strength, advanced weapons, and prior privileges mean nothing if a people lack faith, if they stop trusting in God. So kids, we can have all the cool stuff and we can still fail. Secondly, in 17 and 18 it says, yet they still sinned still more against Him, rebelling against the Most High God in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food that they craved. So remember that passage earlier talking about how faithful God was when He sent manna from heaven and He sent the birds. Even when God gave His people heavenly food that literally fell from the sky, the people still grumbled and complained to God. In their heart, they demanded the food that they craved. Their idol was their bellies. In verse 32 through 36, it says, in spite of all this, in spite of all the things that God had done for them, they still sinned. Despite His wonders, they did not believe, so He made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When He killed them, they sought Him. They repented and sought God earnestly. verses 32 through 36. In spite of all the manna, in spite of all the special things God did for them, they didn't have lasting faith in him. As a result, they all died in the wilderness. Then they would superficially return to God. Oh God, help us get out of this mess so that we can enjoy what's left of our lives. Then when God would spare them, they would go straight back in their lack of faith. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, but they flattered him with their mouths and they lied to him with their tongues. That's the end of that last passage. They flattered him with their mouths, but they lied to him with their tongues. How sad. Verse 56 through 59 says, yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. So after all the great things that God did for his people in Egypt, they rebelled. They turned to idols. They failed over and over and over and over again. And don't forget, this is kind of meant for kids. Like I said before, this isn't the easy stuff. Right? They say, hey, tell this to the next generation. Tell them how horrible our people are and have been and are gonna keep being. Tell them that we fail over and over and over again. It's an important message for kids. And it's one that I don't think we share too often. Right? And this is coming from the lead musician. He's saying, hey guys, hear ye, God is awesome. And if we do things in our own strength, we're gonna fail. Let's lean on him. So I want to point out, and I think this is kind of where the psalmist is getting here, is are we gonna take our culture, or are we gonna go with God's culture? These two core principles of our text, the first is that God is amazing, he's what matters, we should worship him, he cares for us and gives us immeasurable, undeserved grace. And the second point is that we sin. We fail on our own. We continually must remind ourselves of who he is because we're prone to wander. Asaph really wants us to impart these things to the future generations. Again, in verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from the children, but we will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. In verses 5 through 8, it says, he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn and arise and tell them to their children, so they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Yeah, so if you're my father's age, you're stubborn, rebellious generation. I'm just kidding. A generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. He's saying, let's teach the next generation so that they don't make the same mistakes that we made. So why? Why this kind of harsh push towards this next generation? And the only answer I can say is that it's to push back against this culture. Now, if you were to look at our world right now, if there were maybe two things in our culture, at least maybe the American culture, that we really push. That if you just turn on your television or if you turn on your phone, you just look at whatever comes through that screen, what would be pushed? I think the first one would be worship yourself. You're what matters. You're like God. You can have whatever you want. You don't need to subject yourself to anyone or anything. So that would probably be number one. If you just looked at like what is the world pushing? And the second one was that nobody else has the right to tell you who you are. You get to make up whatever you want to be. What do you desire? Get whatever you can. If anyone tells you that you need to act a certain way or uphold yourself to a certain higher standard, who are they? You are what matters. Derive whatever possible pleasure you can get from your body with whoever you'd like. Take whatever you can get. Eat whatever makes you feel good. Sin is a joke. It was old school thinking. You can do whatever you want. You know, I want you to think back to that graphic I showed you with all the advertising, the bombardment of advertising that we see every day. I think all of it kind of comes back to this. You deserve, you desire, you ingratiate yourself. You are God. You can have whatever you'd like. And here we have this one voice from Asaph saying, hey guys, I think you're forgetting. Don't forget. I think you're like the Israelites complaining about the manna. I think you're forgetting about God's salvation. I think you're forgetting God altogether and replacing him with idols. Don't forget. Teach your kids. They need this message now more than ever. Make way. Bang the drums. Hear ye, everyone pay attention. Without much further ado, I give you God. Don't forget him. As I conclude here, I think the worship band's going to come up. But we're a couple weeks past our child dedication. This is a picture. This is Pastor Aaron. He's doing Julie's up there. I hope it was good. I thought Pastor Aaron and Julie did a great job kind of exhibiting both the joy that comes with a bunch of parents devoting their kids to the Lord and also kind of the responsibility that this places with us as a church. I think this text that we're in today kind of goes perfectly with that message, so I just wanted to reiterate it here today. Parents, show your kids who God is. Teach them about his grace and mercy. Teach them about his goodness. Show them from the text how over and over and over again he doles out love for his people. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He's steadfast in character. Point him out in your daily life. Thank him for the good things. Be real with him about the bad things. Let your kids see that he is the epicenter of your thoughts and your life. But also, don't let your kids grow up thinking they can do no wrong, that the world revolves around them, that their sin doesn't break God's heart, because it does. Teach them about the Israelites, that every time God showed his faithfulness, they eventually rebelled. Teach it from generation to generation. Let them know that they need God's grace. And church family, us parents, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we look at our kids kind of through rose-colored glasses. We don't see what you see. We need you to show us truth at times. We need you to build us up at times. We need you to not let these words in Psalm 78 end with our generation. We need you to help us build up this next generation to love God and turn away from sin. So let's sing together. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have an opportunity to learn more about you, that we can have such a robust view of who you are. I pray that we would pass that down. I pray, God, that we would be lights for you in our families, that we'd be lights for you in our community, Lord, so that the next generation would know of your great truth and great love for them. God, we give it all to you this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.